Generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All righty. Good morning, Coastsiders. It's March 6th, 2026. It's me, Ruben, and Crystalyn. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
And a full house in the studio at the undisclosed location this morning. We've got our first in-studio guest in the undisclosed location. Yes, full NDAs were completed. Complete body imaging scan and other invasive biometric security measures taken. Undisclosed location remains undisclosed and secure. And those guests, oh, who are the people? Well, the interns, the suits, everybody else like that. But we have, as our Shooting the Breeze live interview guests, plural, yes, right? It's always fun when we have multiple guests, Crystalyn, in here, because it just creates that festival atmosphere that really is Coastal Windage. So today we've got Franz Dill, co-founder with his wife, Jen Dill, who we've had on the show many times. Franz Dill, co-founder of Half Moon Bay Robotics, which in a good way is really blowing up the last couple of years. So that's, and as part of that, they've been holding local robotics competitions in January. There was a middle school competition featuring the Half Moon Bay Robotics middle school team, Coastside Circuits. This weekend is an even bigger event at the Event Center on Kelly with 28 different teams, including the Half Moon Bay Robotics High School team, the Pumpkin Bots. Okay, and we'll have a current team member, Gabriel Basile. Basile, Gabriel, is that how we pronounce it?
Basil.
Basil, okay. Basil. Gabriel Basil, and now I'm hungry for some breakfast, maybe an omelet. Huh. And Eric Dean, who is a team member, a former student who is now a team member as a kind of an adult
mentor.
That's correct. Yeah. He's a mentor, an alumni mentor.
Nice. And you get the word of the day or whatever the game my wife plays on her phone with the words.
Oh,
and
Wordle.
Yes, you Wordled today.
I Wordle every day.
Oh well, there you go. Well, that's why you got it. Okay. So we'll be interviewing the three of them on the back half of the show. And in the meantime, here's our topics for today on Coastal Windage that airs every Friday here on KHMB.
Yet another new phone number.
Let me give you our third phone number, different phone number in the last 5 weeks. Yikes. I of course, just had the interns update all the phone numbers in the 475 different places we have it.
Maybe that's why it's so hard for the Coastside to get conductivity. We just, like, are continuing to change phone numbers. Uh-huh. They just can't find us.
And this is not even, like, a Coast... You know, the Coastside phone number that we had for about 2 seconds made sense. 712, I think that's, like, a Half Moon Bay or Coastside, you know, prefix or whatever. Okay, get ready. Write it down. And I even remembered that one because it was a simple number, which equates with my mind. Okay, 650. I think we all got that part. 650-477-1244. We'll give that number to you at least one more time.
If we remember.
Yeah. We just get flowing here, and it's hard to remember. Okay, so but we're here on KHMB. AM 1710, 100.9 FM, and anywhere in the world with an internet connection on khmbradio.com. Check us out. This is the live show right now. We're here live. These are real people. These are not bots. We're going to be talking about bots, but these are not bots. This is not AI. These are this is not recording. These are real people right in the moment. Okay, the other topics we have today, a coastside cost of living comparison. Oh, this one's going to hurt. This one's going to hurt as we compare some staples in Half Moon Bay with another super pricey town in this country and see how we match up. And the Half Moon Bay Cagers advance in the NorCal playoffs. Anybody in this room know what a cager is?
No.
Really? Yes, thank you. Ron.
This is basketball.
Yes.
Radio.
Just a guess, though.
Gestures don't.
Yeah, right. And the pantomime radio show begins now. Everybody got that? Okay, good. Okay. Yes, cagers are basketball players. I guess the net is like kind of a cage. So, all right. Air quality report. This is the only radio show live. It's the only live call-in talk radio show in the history of human civilization that's ever done a live air quality report in real time. So here we go. 0 to 50 is incredible air quality. 51 to 100 is moderate. We don't even bother with over 100 unless there's a fire or something. But guess what? Today in El Granada, 9. 1 in Half Moon Bay. 4 in Redwood City, 3 in Santa Cruz, and today in Vail, Colorado, dreamy Vail, 1 in Vail. So, Franz, I know part of your lengthy dossier there is you're an amazing long-distance runner, ultra-marathoner or marathoner. So hearing air quality of 1, you're probably like ready to go for a run then.
That is amazing. That's like a breath of fresh air right directly into your lungs.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. Like almost like mainlining the air, please. You were director of the Half Moon Bay International Marathon for 6 or 7 years. Is this one of the selling points that you use to market the event that we have like literally it don't get any better air quality than this?
Absolutely, absolutely. Our tagline for the marathon was running heaven, and it in all aspects. That's air quality is one of them.
Nice.
The beautiful ocean is another.
So. Yes, totally. Okay, we'll talk more about that on the back half of the show. That was Vail, Colorado was one there, just in case anybody's trying to get those windage bucks. We're still giving them away. We've got, 2 or 3 more pallets of windage bucks to give away here. So, all right. I want to follow up. You remember a couple weeks ago we talked about somebody had posted a video to Nextdoor of a bald eagle, supposedly in El Granada, like chomping on some other seabird. And I wasn't casting aspersions, but just like, something doesn't seem quite right about it. So I asked I mentioned this video to an avid birder friend of mine who lives in El Granada. We've consulted him on this show many times about various cool birds that come through here. I didn't mention to my friend that I was dubious about the video. I just told him that somebody had posted this video of a bald eagle eating another bird claiming to be in El Granada. And he was immediately skeptical to the point of flat out calling bull. So birders, like most hobbyists, message boards or social media feeds or
forums.
Databases or something that they communicate on and know.
It's not predominantly carrier pigeon, I mean.
Yeah, right.
I'm disappointed.
Frank, really? That's a rim shot. That's a rim shot comment right there.
Frank is moving on.
I know, right? Like, dude, thank you. Sometimes the jokes are so deep and subtle that, right, we need the audio cues there. He said there was no mention of a bald eagle sighting on any of the bird boards he follows. He also said the angle of the video, which was near the same level, like as if the person was in the tree with the bird through some tree branches, did not seem natural to him. Bald eagle pairs have been known to be in the area, but they're well known. Like the birders know the birds that are here, and nobody had mentioned them, no local birders. And in the 2 weeks, there have not been any mention of this bird or the eagles or anything. So
if it is fake or was taken somewhere else and is being propositioned in El Granada, like what a weird thing to fake.
Exactly. What is
like,
the motive here?
It's so random.
What is the motive here? Exactly. Well,
people get their giggles off of the weirdest things.
Yeah, that's very astute observation of people, Crystalline.
Hey, I like to bring it on a Friday.
I know, right? Dang. So let the aspersions be formally cast now. Like, now I am literally saying I am officially dubious. Gabriel, Franz, do you guys have bot boards or message boards where you guys communicate with other robotics team people across the world or across the country?
oh, my goodness. There's one big message board. It's called Chief Delphi. And that is just an online forum. It's kind of like Reddit, but it's only for FRC and first teams. And that is just a great way for a bunch of teams to come together and communicate about their designs, both during and off season. And it's really great resource. I've used it a lot for this team. And then I'm also on another team at my high school, Sarah. And they use it a lot, too. So it's just a great resource.
Yeah. I mean, so, Gabriel, we didn't fully vet this of, like, really, Sarah? Okay.
Oh,
I mean,
the, right. Coast Side Show.
That's okay. I mean, we have a lot of kids that go to Sarah from the Coast Side. And, I mean, we will accept Sarah as a, you know, it's no Half Moon Bay High, but we'll bring them in. Okay. So do you guys talk trash on this message board, or is it just, like, fully supportive, you know, that kind of stuff?
We try to be as kind and supportive as possible. The first community as a whole is just very focused. There's the idea of cooperation, which is you're going to fight valiantly, like, for your team, but you're also going to work with all the other teams because ultimately the goal there is to learn to have fun. So, yeah.
Okay, learn
well
to have
said.
Fun.
Well yeah. said.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty fun. I mean, any kind of community that you can get involved with is going to make it more fun or add a little bit more depth to it. Okay, Eric Dean has just joined us. He's sitting down right now. While Eric gets situated, I guess we'll dive into the mailbag a little bit here. We usually do that at the end of the show, but it's piling up. And I want to acknowledge people that...
You've got mail.
Really, you couldn't.
You asked for the.
I know, but he couldn't get the rim shot. Like
you've got mail.
Okay, now it's time to take it away from. This is the problem with Frank and his Foley box over there.
I disagree. It's not a problem at all.
Okay. So I want to acknowledge people that take the time to email us. Although I would say this is a call-in talk radio show, so just call in
they
instead.
They would call if they could.
If they could remember the number that
number.
We. Okay, here is the number du jour. 650-477-1244. Okay, here's, and these are random. We have sacks and sacks of email around because I asked the interns to print them out and put them in envelopes and seal them. So it seems like real mail because I don't
You're usually so eco-conscious.
We recycle all of this. It all goes right into the recycling. Now, what the recycling industry does with it, I don't know, but we're putting it in the green tote there and hauling it off to wherever it goes. All right, so here's for, and these are random. We just pull them out. So here we go. Email number one from Piers Pacifica. Piers spelled P-I-E-R-S. Piers Pacifica. I'm already like, no. Subject line, Pacifica, my Pacifica. I don't know whether to be offended, amused, or confused by your statement that you enjoyed your night out in Pacifica. I talked about how I went to Winter's Tavern and saw a Grateful Dead cover band and then went to Valimar Station for dinner, and it was lovely. So I'm not sure what the problem is here, but what did you expect? Fogtown has everything. So they're trying to say, Fogtown has everything. What is the first thing? They're going to list the attributes here. What is the first attribute of Pacifica that this person cites, do you think? Anybody? Any guesses?
Fog? Yeah, just a random guess.
I mean, okay. If you're into fog, Fogtown has everything. Two high schools. All right, well, you have arrived, Pacifica. Thank you. Okay, two high schools, the Taco Bell Cantina, okay. A nifty little golf course, yes, I played that. Lindemar Beach, all right. And lots of great watering holes and eateries. Even a place to buy musical instruments, because I was complaining like a few weeks ago that, so, you know, this is not a self-sustaining town. You can't buy a soccer ball or a musical instrument here.
So it's so funny to me because I run into this all the time where I'll be chatting with businesses in Pacifica or the council in Pacifica and at events or whatever. And they always will talk about how they're such a small town. And I'm like, you guys have Panda Express. You have, like, multiple, you know, shops. You've got, you know, grocery outlet. Like, you've got all of these, like, bigger box stores. And it just cracks me up that they really, Pacificans, some of them, feel that they're such a small town. And I'm like, no, like, half of our town goes to your town to do their, like, weekly shopping and stuff. Just cracks me up the difference of opinion that people have about where they live.
Well, at Winters last week, I ran in, these were like an older crowd. It's a Grateful Dead cover band, so the name of the band is They Were Dead when we got there, and I'm not sure whether they're talking about the music, the band, or the people that were there to see it. But a couple of those people stumbled over to me and were like mumbling, you know, like, how long have you lived here? Like, this is old Pacifica. Like, we like it like this. And I think Pacifica is about to go through some major, major growing pains. Michelle Dragony just had on Coastside Buzz that, you know, Shamrock Farms, which for 25 years of living here, even during the, after the tunnel and the bridge, they built the bridge there, like, it's a beautiful sight to come out of that tunnel and see Shamrock Ranch down to the right there, the grassy green fields and stuff. Over almost 400 housing units proposed for that area. That's just that one area. Mm-hmm. Seven-story apartment building right on Highway 1 by Gorilla Barbecue. Where, if anybody knows where the legendary Boy Scout mountain bike trail is, there's going to be 250 luxury houses up there. And then if the quarry gets built out, that's another 1,000 units they're talking about. And they're talking about 300 units at Siebel. They're not widening Highway 1, and there's no other back road out of there other than Sharp Park Road. If all that happens in the next 10 years, bye-bye old-timey Pacifica.
Yeah.
Yeah. And bye-bye any chance of getting... That's always been the back door out of the coastside.
Yeah.
Or the front door in when 92 is closed about once a week.
Yeah, that's why I take real umbrage with the whole California telling cities and counties how many units they have to build. Because at some point, a town just needs to be full. Like, people remodeling houses or turning single houses into duplexes or whatever, like, that's all good and fine. People should be able to do what they need to do. But the fact that so much of the development is just being pushed because California has just been like, oh, yeah, Half Moon Bay, your town of 11,000, you have a couple of years to come up with 450 more units. And it's like, oh, where? Like, we protect our open space for a reason.
Because they look at these maps and they say, oh, look at all this open space on the coastside.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You know, like, all right. Not good. And scores another one for Crystalline on the Wordle with umbrage, bringing the umbrage. Wield that umbrage, Crystalline. Wield it. All right. Well, it's already like, I don't know, what, 20 minutes after, so... We'll just go one more email, and this one looks appropriate since you were mentioning the idea that you would stand up and say, I don't want 450 units here. How dare you? This one is from listener EGOG. Subject line, need a new acronym. We know about NIMBYs and even YIMBYs, but I think we should also need to start throwing around the term JCL, pronounced Jackal, which stands for Johnny or Jenny Come Lately. If you just got here or anywhere, go slow, look, listen, and learn a bit before you go trying to reinvent your new community. Have some respect and consideration for what came before. Change is inevitable, but some places and some people like stability and history. And egad, oh my goodness, man, they're just throwing all the word. Egad. We have an EGAD. We have an EGAD sighting, people. EGAD, oh my. An EGAD, a rural environment. Not everywhere has to be El Camino Real or Pleasanton. ouch, Pleasanton taking the blind side from EGOG. What did Pleasanton ever do to you, EG?
Yeah, I think for quite a few people, there's a loss of, like, understanding that every community is allowed to be different. And what if somebody wants a certain type of community, move to that community. It exists already. So if you are somebody who loves cities and having everything at your fingertips and being able to DoorDash dinner at 11 p.m. at night, like, there are places not far away from here within 20, 30 minutes that is possible. So I do agree, like, people who want to just make drastic changes because parts of the coastside are, quote-unquote, behind the times. Well, that's actually probably what attracted you to move here in the first place. So there's, like, you know, like I said, there's always a middle, whether people want to see it or not.
I don't know what to say to this person, although I do like the Jackal. Let's add that in. JCL, Jackal, Johnny or Jenny come lately. We got NIMBYs, YIMBYs, and Jackals now. And, yeah, but what you're saying is, like, that's NIMBY talk, Ristlin. That's NIMBY talk. Well, that's what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. Like, when did NIMBY become a bad thing? Like, I think everybody at their core is a NIMBY. You know, if they're like, yeah, we're going to put a toxic waste dump in your backyard, you're going to be like, not in my backyard.
I'm pro-responsible development.
Oh, well.
So
where does that, what? Who?
Yes, what that means
about?
Depends on the individual project. But it's just like, you know, I don't lean any one way, like, politically. Like, it's like you vote the issue, not the, you know, not the just big swathing.
Big swathing. Yeah, big swathing. That was my nickname in high school. Big swathing. Okay, here's the coastside cost of living comparison. I'm sorry we can't get to more email. The show just goes way too fast. So a couple weeks ago, I mentioned a 12-pack of Coke is now going for, at Safeway, is going for $13. And a small bag that used to be a bigger bag and is now, like, literally getting to be the size of, like, a Sweet Tarts bag of Old Trapper beef jerky is $20. That's $33 for a bag of beef jerky and some Cokes. And as I mentioned, that's $33. I could literally get, like, an 8-ounce steak in South Carolina for that, which I did last couple weeks ago. So despite what you might hear from non-credible loudmouths like Chester Cheeto, inflation and shrinkflation are real. Real things in this country, and they aren't getting better. Today, I literally brought the receipts. On Wednesday, I did the grocery shopping for three people who don't eat very much. For the week, $550. Uh-huh. Paper towels, $20 per package of six rolls. A bag of Dove dark chocolates that has gotten smaller, $10. So I was complaining about this to my family. My brother, who lives outside of Vail, known to be one of the most expensive places to go or to live, wasn't buying it. Oh, we live in Vail. It's so expensive here. Blah, 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 blah. By the way, just in case you're wondering, Ruben has a rich brother. No, he works for the Forest Service, lives in a Forest Service bunkhouse, and makes less than the starting wage at Burger King here in Half Moon Bay, even though he's worked for the Forest Service for 6 years now. He thought I was exaggerating, so he compared some prices at the Safeway in Half Moon Bay and the Safeway in Vail, Colorado. Quote from my brother, really shocked how much more everything is in Half Moon Bay than Vail. So he listed a bunch of things here, like a 2-pound chicken breast, $11 in Half Moon Bay, $7 in Vail, which a 3-pound ribeye steak. It's interesting the things he was pricing. Yes. $78 in Half Moon Bay, $55 in Vail. Here, one thing. Tropicana orange juice is the same. All right. Oh. Everywhere in the country. Milk was more expensive here. Eggs way more expensive. So, okay. Frank always gives me these weird hand signals. I don't quite know what he's saying. So in Vail, we did a little bit additional research. Vail has a 63% higher cost of living than the national average. And it ranks of most expensive 134 out of 6,010 cities in the United States. So it's the 134th most expensive place to live. 63% higher cost of living. Half Moon Bay, drum roll, sir.
You've got this, Frank.
Yeah, never mind, Frank. Half Moon Bay, 66%. Okay, there we go. All right, I'm back. 66% higher cost of living than national average. It's 3% higher than Vail. And 112 out of 6,010 cities. Vail was 134. So quantitative actual facts showing Half Moon Bay is even more expensive to live than Vail. Fun fact, so Half Moon Bay is 66% higher cost of living than the national average, but only 18% higher than the average cost of living of the rest of the cities in California. Mm-hmm. So California, just in general, is super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And more Half Moon Bay, more expensive to buy groceries and cost of living than Vail, Colorado. Ouch. Mm-hmm. How many minutes do we have left here, Frank? Because we got to get to this thing before we go to the break. Is that one or are you flipping me on? What, four? Okay.
Wait, we already talked about birds, Frank.
Yeah. Okay, the Half Moon Bay Cagers advanced. The boys in 2023, they went to the Division IV state championship game. They lost to SoCal champion Valencia. That was the first time in school history a basketball team had made the state championship. And then last year, the girls team went to the state championship, also losing in the championship game. Well, this year's boys team is making another run. They are deep into the NorCal championships as the number 5 seed. They won against University Prep from Reading on Tuesday. They pulled out a tough 64-61 win. They didn't play their best, but fortunately, Reading had the long drive, and they were the 12 seed, so we eked that out. And this is one of those things. If you're going to win a championship, you got to pumpkin bots. If you're going to win that championship, you got to be good. You got to have things got to like fall your way a little bit too. And we'll talk about whether things can fall your way. If luck has anything to do with robotics, we'll see. But so Half Moon Bay won their opening round game and they're looking to play the number 4 seed Lincoln, except that Lincoln lost to the 13 seed Sanger West out of Fresno. So which gave Half Moon Bay another home playoff game last night, which they pulled out in a nail biter 56-54. That was an incredible game. The atmosphere in the gym was electric. Gio Garduño Martin carried the team in the second half with just three-pointer after three-pointer. And on the same night, last night, the number one seed who Half Moon Bay was going to have to play next in Chico, ironically the team that they beat to go to the state championship 3 years ago, lost to the number 8 seed Marysville. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in the high school, in our Half Moon Bay High School gym, we'll have a semifinal, NorCal semifinal championship game against the number 8 Marysville team. So we've got a decent chance. And if we win that, it's on to the NorCal championship game against either Burlingame or Sacred Heart, both of which Half Moon Bay has played twice this year. I think we lost both times to Sacred Heart, the last time in the CCS championship game, again on a nail biter. And Burlingame, I think we split with. So if we could get past Marysville, we're going to play a team that we're familiar with. And then if they win that game, it's back to Sacramento for another shot at the state championship. I just want to, we have 45 seconds. People have been talking for years. Ask around. That this 2026 team, for at least 5 to 10 years, people have been saying this is the team that was going to win the state title. 3 or 4 years ago when it happened, it was a surprise. People were looking at this team with Gio Garduño Martin as a senior, with Caden Guevara, who made the team, who was on that 2023 team too as a freshman, is a senior. All of that cohort of their like age people, Gio and Caden, Owen Perez, Daniel Moctezuma, and a few others all grew up together playing CYO, playing on Cunha, and now they've been on the basketball team. This is why people were saying 2026 is going to be the state championship year. I was dubious, but it looks like it's playing out. Okay. And when we come, we're going to go to our commercial break right now. And when we come back, we've got Gabriel, we've got Eric, we've got Franz to talk all things robotics, including the huge, massive, 900-plus contestant, 28-team robotics competition this weekend at the Event Center. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me and Stan Warren Littrell coming up at 10 o'clock right after Coastal Windage. We'll have a look at today in history, plus we'll get to a brand new forgotten find. It all happens at 10 a.m. right here from 100.9 FM KHMB.
Okay, so we got all of the talking out of the way of stuff going on in town and interesting tidbits, and now we can get into the real meat of this episode. If perchance you want to call in and talk to any of these three celebrities here, we have Gabriel, we have Eric, and we have Franz, who will be, you could go to the tournament this weekend and get their autograph if you want.
Oh, Michelle Dragony. She's been talking about this tournament since I think the second it was announced.
It's the buzz. I mean, literally, it's the buzz around town. Eric, do you have like a box load of 8x10 glossy headshots in your trunk of your car that you have for people that want to autograph?
Not right at the minute. I can get some if that's really such a request.
I think after this weekend, you might need to.
If there's demand, I'll get it. I'll get it.
Okay, excellent. Okay. I just need to read this about Franz and then he can interpret whatever it means. So I get the first few words, design engineer with 20 plus years experience focused in product leadership. And from there, FPGA development, digital signal processing, and PCB circuit design with complementary depth of experience in system design and integration, embedded systems, and design verification. Uh-huh. Yep. I went to high school. Okay. So what? So electrical engineer? Is this what we're talking about here?
You're spot on. Electrical engineer from San Jose State.
I saw that. Yes. Go Spartans, yes. Right? Yes. Okay. So that is, I guess, now kind of makes sense of why robotics is your hobby. I mean, you have a natural inclination toward, also apparently an incredible ability with it. So, and you love it, apparently.
Absolutely. I love it. There's a lot of association both at the family level into robotics, but also this is a good time to share that I also, in my work time, I work on Johnson & Johnson's surgical robotic platform. So I am the chief engineer for their visualization platform. So if I'm not doing robotics on the coast here with our wonderful kids, I'm doing it over in Santa Clara at the MedTech facility.
That sounds incredibly impressive, Franz, really. That sounds impressive, but then the next part of your LinkedIn profile, I would say, for me, is equally as impressive. Quote, I drive towards a convergence of personal and professional passions, merging engineering with health, wellness, or the outdoors, to which I can apply my understanding throughout in developing unique products that source meaningful quality results. And outside of work, I'm an avid ultra runner, typically found in the mountains, trail running into personal growth for hours. Yeah, that sounds like a nice life balance. And then you've founded and mentoring this robotics team. Dude, it's people like you that just make me feel so like, wow, I've got a radio show and I know Franz Dill. Okay. I've arrived in life. No, it's just one of the things that makes this Coastside community amazing is that we've got folks like you that have such a depth of like technical background and experience, but you're accessible because we're in this small community and we kind of run into each other. Eric, what's your story?
So currently I am a freshman at UCLA studying mechanical engineering with the hopes of going into robotics or automation, biomed, kind of anything in that realm of possibilities after graduation. For high school, I went to Archbishop Reardon High School up in San Francisco. And in my sophomore year, I started doing FIRST Robotics. So I helped start the school team there, served as its team captain for 3 years, and then eventually joined the Pumpkin Bots here on the Coastside when they transitioned from a school team out of Half Moon Bay High School to a community team. And I joined that my junior year and did that 2 years as well. And now I'm mentoring.
Wow. Again, wow. And how are you liking UCLA? My son's interested. He applied there. He doesn't think he'll get in. I guess he needed to found a robotics team. But how's UCLA?
I really love it. It's a great campus, great people I've met so far. Number one dining halls in the nation. Just saying. Not trying to sway anyone.
Okay.
It does show.
Okay. All right. That is important. And Gabriel, what's your deal?
Well, I'm currently a sophomore at Unibro-Serra High School up in San Mateo. I joined Pumpkin Bots last year as a freshman and as just like a student. And this year I'm co-captain of the team. And so, yeah.
Okay, so that's a great entree. Co-captain of the team. So does that mean that you fill out the lineup cards or you what responsibilities does a captain or co-captain of the robotics team have?
So everybody on our team kind of does everything because we're such a small team. I think we're about 13 students, let's say, whereas most teams around here, especially in California, are around 30 to 40. So there is just a lot of everybody does everything. But leadership roles, especially, we have, I think, three leadership officers. There's my other co-captain, Maya Duncan, and Tyler Handel, who's the team captain. And they're both wonderful people. Love them to bits. So, but it is a lot of scheduling and just making sure our team is on track schedule-wise and planning events and things like that, our outreach efforts, things like that, yeah.
Now, if somebody's lagging behind and they don't have their part of the project done or something, like, so what do you do? Come in with the big stick or what happens then? You're benched.
Yeah. We try not to take that approach as much. We try to be supportive whenever possible, especially because, like, we all know we're all busy. We all have other commitments. We just want to be there to support each other. If somebody else isn't getting some work done, we just want to make sure there's somebody else who can maybe help them do it, like, in the meantime. So, like, if somebody can't finish their CAD project, somebody else can step in to do it for them because they had a basketball game that they couldn't miss this week or something like that.
Ooh, some future boss is going to love you guys.
What? Yeah, totally. I mean, okay, if anybody's listening.
Oh, my gosh, you guys are team players, and you, like, step up to the plate, and you, like...
Right, if anybody's listening and wants to hire Eric or have an internship for Gabriel, the phone number to call is 650-477-1244. They're available. So what? I'm familiar with basketball practices and teams and stuff. What's the robotics equivalent of making them run laps because they didn't get their project done? Like, it's like you have to sweep up the robotics room afterwards, or pick up all the little pieces, or go shopping for the team or something?
I mean, there's always cleaning and vacuuming, and if you really did something very wrong, you get to disassemble the motors and clean them and then re-grease them.
Oh, when I worked fish in Alaska, if you you had to be a real screw-up, but if you screwed up, you had to clean the mincing machine, which is this huge thing that you would put these, like, just fish bones and stuff in. It just grinds it up into, like, a pasty pate for, like, dog food or something. But it's super greasy, and you have to take the entire machine apart, and, like, it's with solvent, and it's just, like, everybody else is gone, and it's, like, 3 a.m, and you're there with the mincer. So, okay, so if you have to... So don't screw up, or you'll be greasing the motors. Okay. Let's talk about the big event this weekend, because this is pretty special to be hosting an event here, to bring it to Half Moon Bay. I mean, Crystalline, CEO of Chamber of Commerce, you must be happy about this.
Oh, yeah. We always love to see new stuff come to the coastside, but then especially the fact that it has to do with the students, and it's such a community-based group, and all that just makes it even more special.
Okay, so I cannot ever understand how the high school basketball leagues and championship tournaments and how that all works out. I don't know. So what is this? What is this competition? Is this part of a yearly schedule of tournaments? Is this a special championship tournament? Tell us a little bit about the tournament this weekend.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. And I know for a fact that Eric has this, like, down pat, so I always turn to him when I want some just spot on details. He's quicker than AI.
I love to hear that.
So this is a what's called a district event in Northern California. So we first has recently transitioned to a district event. And what that means is teams from California participate in these events within their district. There's a Northern and Southern California district, but we can interchange. In fact, in this tournament, there are teams coming up from the L.A. area up to compete here in Half Moon Bay. and what this is a point-based system. So the teams accumulate points in their first two events that they choose to participate in. And those points determine, do you go on to the district championship? Our team has high aspirations to get to the district championship. It's one of the goals that the team set. And then if you proceed beyond the district championships, you go to the world championships.
Did I see that this Pumpkin Bot Teams was at the 2022 World Championships?
That is correct. We are veterans in getting to the world championships. And this is a worldwide event. Teams from around the world participate in this. In fact, during one of our builds, we were watching a live stream from Istanbul. And, you know, this is everywhere. And we're bringing it to Half Moon Bay. We're very excited.
I think you should use your home court advantage and, like, I don't know how the teams come out, but you should let all the other teams come out. Then you should have the lights go dark and the song Serious come on. Dun, 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 dun. And then, like, have you guys just, like, spotlight, come out of the tunnel just, like, you know, with, like, boxing robes on or something. And now, your hometown champions, the Half Moon Bay Robotics Team, Pumpkin Bots. Do, 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 do. Have the music going. That would be incredible.
One of our students does operate the spotlight for the basketball team, so we've got it in there.
I'm just saying, you know, come on. Like, you got to put the fear in those visiting teams. They're like, this is our town. Okay, so, but what happens at one of these? This is where, like, I think people like me that, like, can't figure it out of, like, okay, so it's a robotics championship, but you can't just show up and they're like, it's not a like an impromptu thing of like you get there and they're just like, okay, here's 15 pieces of equipment and some motors and stuff, build something. What is the premise here?
So basically, typically the first Saturday of every January is a global kickoff. It's a global live stream. It's a game reveal. And then our season, theme, the game and the scoring goals that we're trying to achieve are different every single year. So the 4,000 plus teams, the hundreds of thousands of kids across the world all see this in real time at the exact same time and get basically all of January and February, maybe a tiny bit in March, depending on when the competition schedule works out, to completely design, build, program, test a brand new bot every single year. You can't reuse any major mechanisms from previous years. You can reuse individual components like motors, but everything has to be completely redone. And then in March, you go to your district and regional events, depending on what system and what geographic region you live in. And then at these competitions, so like today, for example, Friday afternoon is load-in day. So everyone takes their robots. They take all of their spare parts, their tools, their pit equipment, essentially, if you think of like F1 or other racing. And they basically load in all their stuff. And then first thing tomorrow morning and today basically is robot inspection against a 2-page list of requirements to make sure it's legal for field use.
What would be an illegal thing? Like nitrous oxide or something?
Flamethrower.
Yeah. Flammable gases. Anything with, like, speakers, Bluetooth tech, can't do anything like that. Lasers, because people have gotten blinded in the past. They had to ban that a long time
ago.
What?
No.
Everything on that list is there for a reason, trust me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so you go through the checklist to make sure you've got an appropriate, what do you call it, vehicles or machine or what?
Robots. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then as soon as you're inspected, basically there's sort of three rounds of matches. So there's a couple practice rounds just to get everyone on the field, make sure they're moving, connecting properly. And then there's a full day and a half of qualification matches. So these qualification matches is one alliance versus a second alliance. And each alliance has three individual robotics teams. So it's six teams on a field at the exact same time.
Ooh.
Three of them trying to work together, three of them opposing.
Now, when you say working together and opposing, so let's say the three that are on one team, can you actively try to like mess up the other team? Is that part of strategy and playing, or you're just trying to achieve your thing and they're trying to achieve their thing and you're trying to do it first, or can you get in there and mess them up?
You have to actively work with your alliance teammates or the two other teams on your alliance. You have to work together to try and score more points to achieve different criteria depending on what the game is year to year. And you can, to a certain extent, mess with the other alliance and try and play defense and disrupt defense. Their scoring. What makes FRC different, though, is people always say this is not BattleBots. It's not supposed to be combative. So they do have some safeguards in place to make sure nothing gets too damaged, people don't get hurt. At the end of the day, it's coming down to scoring more than it is destruction.
I'm just saying, in today's America, you might get more attendance and funding and you know, get on ESPN if there was a chance that people might get an injury in this, you know?
That's true.
I will add that Half Moon Bay, our specific team, is renowned probably for two things. Half Moon Bay grit. People have come up to us and went, who quite literally said, how are you playing so well against some of the top teams in the world? And over the hill, there are really a handful of teams that are outstanding. One comes from Bellarmine. They're called the Cheesy Poofs, 254.
I've got a nephew who goes to Bellarmine.
Yes.
U.S. Representative Sam Liccardo is a graduate of Bellarmine.
Yes.
Frequent guest on the show. But just an aside.
I will say that there are some high-caliber teams coming here to Half Moon Bay, beginning today and competing for Saturday and Sunday.
So you're known for grit. What's the other thing you're known for?
For our defensive driving.
Oh.
We have – one of the reasons we got to Worlds that we mentioned previously was because we played defense that surprised the play of the game against some of those top teams because we were fearless. And it comes from – there's a magic here in Half Moon Bay. And – I didn't create it. The team created it. It's just in who we are as we show up, and it showed up on the field, and we surprised people. It was amazing to watch.
I love it. I love when I coach things, like I start with defense, and you know what they say, defense wins championships. So that's incredible that you guys play great defense and that there is defense to be played. Okay, Eric, you mentioned this live stream that happens. Too bad for the kids in China or whatever, when they're live streaming it at 2:00 in the afternoon here in the United States and it's 3:30 in the morning there or whatever. But Gabriel, tell me a little bit about this. What is this game that is announced? Is that to get everybody like building towards the same kind of goal? Because you come to a competition like this, there has to be some kind of level playing field in terms of everybody working towards the same thing. What is the game that is introduced each January?
So typically the game follows like a set structure, which is that you'll have a period at the beginning of the match called auto, where your robot is completely not in control of a person and it's just all software. Then after that, you'll have something called teleop, where you'll have like or one of your students has a controller and they're driving the robot around. And then you'll have the last period called endgame, where there's usually a special task that you have to accomplish that you haven't been doing the rest of the game.
Endgame, that sounds a little...
It's a little...
yikes.
It's the conclusion.
Teams that don't win, you will not be seeing again. It's like Squid Game or something, endgame. Like, you didn't make the cut. Okay, let's go back to that first stage, the fully auto robot. So... this is more than just linking together some batteries and some motors. Like, are you guys doing the programming on the software?
Yes. So there is a package, I think, where there's some software that's already pre-made to help you a little bit. And then there are also some college teams. I think Eric can speak about that a little bit. But there's a program called Robot in 3 Days where a bunch of college kids basically make fun of all the high school teams who take 6 weeks to make a robot, and they make one in 3 days. And then they post all of the resources afterwards so that the high school teams have it as they're building their robots. And so there's a lot of resources like that and support within the community to make that code. But you have to make code to... make the robot drive like by itself and do the main task of the game by itself. You have to stand like behind. There's a tape line. People get mad if you cross it. So yeah.
What's a task? Because all I am envisioning is a soccer field filled with robots. Because there's a game and there's periods and all that. Like, what's a task that one robot would be or would be asked to do?
I mean, soccer isn't too far off. But the task this year is you have to pick up some foam balls off of the floor and then run over to one side of the field, shoot them, and then score them in this big hoop called the hub. And like Eric said, this is different from previous years. Last year, you had to pick up some like PVC pipes and then put them on this weird coat rack thingy. But
okay, so we went from a construction site to a basketball game. So you should definitely go this weekend to the match because you'll love it. It'll be robotic basketball.
I will feel incredibly inadequate, like just sitting in this room with these three people. Oh my goodness! I've seen video of your competition, and I've seen the robots that you build. Are you limited in the? So probably your focus is on the operational capabilities of it. But is there any time given to the aesthetics of it? And I'm just thinking of the robot dogs that China have or whatever the muskrat is doing with his people android things. Like, do you work on the external visuals as well?
I know that for our team, that doesn't always happen. We try to put stickers on the side and stuff once we've finished all the major projects. But some other teams, they really do spend a lot of time making it look professional grade. A professional
with
robot.
Like plastic fairings or something.
Beautiful bent plastic. There's LED light strips. There's a lot of work that goes into making these bots look pretty.
All right, one word for you guys to like again for that home field advantage. Flames. Just have just big flames on either side of your robot.
Not real flames. They said that's not allowed.
Kristen, like on the side of your car, the big flames that come out of the front grill. Paint flames. Not real flames. Paint flames.
There was a team last year that had light strips that looked like flames. So
okay, all right. So here's. I still don't even want to know if I want to go here, but okay, what role does AI play in robotics and specific in general and here with your team?
Maybe I can kick that off, and I love to hear from the students.
Yeah, kick it here. Off the side of the cliff here into the ocean. No, go ahead, Franz. How does AI play in?
Let me speak broadly first, and then maybe get a little specific to what we do here as a team. So broadly, you know, AI is being integrated into this. One of the reasons why is the time to game launch versus when we compete is very compressed, and the teams are continuing to do more and more. So AI comes into the equation, let's call it, as to how to fuel that acceleration. And it can be in many different ways. It can be in programming. It could be in logistics, team planning, documentation creating. It's like running a startup in 2.5 months, and it goes fast. What I have heard from other mentors that I'm closely connected with is typically what they do is they'll sit down with the team and do an AI plan. What do you guys want to do? What are the rules around AI in our specific team? And that's been very helpful to get feedback from teams. How do you want to use AI? Because you could not use it at all. That's completely fine. Or you can 100% use it.
I see AI because 5 years ago or 10 years ago, it wasn't a part of it. I see AI as the steroids of the robotics thing in terms of like you don't have to use it, but there's probably a sense that if you're not using it, you're at a competitive disadvantage because other teams are using it, and it does have merit for what you're trying to do. And so if you're not using it, yeah, you can muscle through the old school way, but it seems like you're at a competitive disadvantage if you're not using the modern tools. Plus, one of the things probably that attracted Gabriel, you and Eric to this is that, you know, this is modern technology. This is the future. This is things that maybe you want to get into in your career. And whether we like it or not, AI is here to stay, and it is the future or it is the now. And so, yeah, you would want to be able to touch that and use it in practical applications you know, now, which, you know, enterprises all over the place are struggling right now to figure out how to put AI into practical application at the user level, enterprise level, sure, but at the user level, and maybe this is something that you guys are going to help figure out for the future.
Yeah, yeah, totally. AI definitely isn't taking, it's not necessarily taking away, like, the weeks of, like, design work, fabrication, anything like that. It's still long days, long hours for, like, the students and mentors alike. It's just trying to make it an easier task and slightly less time-consuming, but it doesn't necessarily take away any of, like, the effort or the thought basically put into that design process. I can, like, for one example, like, we talked about the autonomous period earlier. One big use of AI is, like, they call it generating paths on the fly. So if you need to get from point A to point B, but you don't have a predetermined route from that location, or if you're trying to do it to, like, a new place that, like, you don't have anything created for, basically AI is being used to create a path from point A to point B, basically from nothing, by just determining, like, what direction your robot is facing, the velocity that it's currently going at, what acceleration is needed. Is it a straight line? Is it some curved pattern? So it's just helping out stuff like that. But the actual, like, the rest of the scoring, everything like that is still, like, mostly student made, I guess.
Okay, Frank's giving me the 3-minute thing. I mean, this is one of the, this is one of the topics, and you three guests are people that we literally could have, like, a 4-hour show. So I just want to, like, run down a couple of details if people want to come to the event this weekend. I really highly encourage. This is a huge weekend in Half Moon Bay. Okay, the basketball game is Saturday night at the gym. This is the semifinals for NorCal, 7 p.m. Sunday at 8:30 a.m. Right next to the right behind you guys. You guys will be hearing this. There's a first ever that I'm aware of, huge pickleball tournament on the Cunha courts. Rick and Dave, I'll just leave it at that. Rick and Dave have been from the pickleball community have been working really hard with CUSD and the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside to get these Cunha courts restriped for pickleball. And they've got one court restriped for 4 pickleball courts. It's pretty amazing. So they're going to have this inaugural tournament. And then, of course, we've got the robotics competition this weekend. 900-plus high school students, 28 teams, and their robots. Do your robots have names? You name them? Yeah? What's your guys' robot called?
We have not decided. Some of the ones on the list include Ark of the Coven. You can't see my finger, but I'm doing.
He's making an arc.
Yeah, okay. An arc, like a circle.
So an ARC instead of an ARK.
Yeah, we have the Bot Mobile. Okay. Up there. Uh-huh. That's a Biggie Cheese. I don't really know why we put that one in there, but, you know, just to give you a taste.
Okay.
Well, I have to throw in Frank. Frank's a big one, too.
Frank from the Cars.
Yes. Frank the Tank? Oh, no. Oh, a different. Oh, kids, right. Okay. Frank from the Cars movie. Sure. Yeah. Okay. So teams will vie for awards and spot in the first California Northern California Championship. Admission is free. Today, you can get in and see from 4 to 7:30. Today is kind of that interesting Friday anticipation. Teams kind of feeling each other out, getting ready, testing their equipment. That's kind of interesting. Saturday, 8 to 8. Sunday, 8 to 5:30. The event happens in the event center on Kelly. The pits, which the public is allowed to go and check out, is over at the Cunha Gym. So right there. As the website says, catch the excitement of this intense competition, a high-energy, high-tech spectator sporting event. You can tour the pits with teams and their robots. Cheer on your favorite teams, like the hometown Half Moon Bay team 8793, the Pumpkin Bots. And we have Gabriel, Eric, and Franz here from the Pumpkin Bots. Really appreciate you guys coming in. Good luck this weekend. I know it's stiff competition, but, you know, you guys have the home court advantage, plus a lot of experience, plus a pedigree of awards that you've already won. Go to the Pumpkin Bots website, Half Moon Bay Robotics website. Check that out. And come. Admission's free. Come and check out this amazing competition. Support these kids and their mentors who are really, you know, making me feel like there's a chance for humanity going forward. Okay, Eric, Gabriel, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it, guys. Good luck. Franz.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing everyone there.
Coastside legend, Franz Dill. Okay, thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week. We might even have another live studio guest if we can get that NDA signed. Thank you guys for going through all that invasive security. And we'll be back next week on Coastal Windage. Oh, Crystalline. Yeah, you'll be back here too. We're both of here. We're always here. All right. Good to see you. Okay. Next Friday, Coastal Windage.
The Dark of the Coast.